Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Sports Illustrated Big Ten writer Dustin Schutte. Dustin, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing great, Jim, and I want to start. I'm not going to ask how you're doing because I learned my lesson last week, but I'm going to start here with a little anecdote for you because it's officially October, and yes. It's now, I don't know if you're a big horror movie, horror show fan or get into it, but me and my fiance, we try to find something new to watch each October, a couple new things to watch in terms of a Halloween or scary movie or new show, and so we were kind of going through and we found a new one, and I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called Penn State at UCLA. I don't know if you've heard of that one. If maybe the listeners have heard of that one. I can't take full credit. I can't take full credit for that, Jim, because we're on the legitimate side. We're watching Netflix, the Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
And so she looks at me as we're getting ready to put it on. She said, which horror show do you want to watch first, this or the recap of the Penn State or UCLA game? And I said, I'm going to use that on the show and give you full credit.
Bring it on, Dustin. I'll tell you what, nothing could expand the pain that Penn Staters are already feeling over this game. And you know what? I don't even know if it's better. I was it last week, and I'm not even sure if it was on the air or not. I asked you, as an Atlanta Braves fan versus me being a Mets fan, yeah, which is better, being essentially eliminated a month into the season or hanging in there till the very end and finding out on the last day that, you know, your team didn't make it? And I could kind of use that analogy with this Penn State UCLA game, totally blown off the field in the first half. Then they had to go and give everyone hope in the second half. Hope is not a good thing, Dustin. Not when you finish it the way they did. They got themselves, I guess, even in the third quarter, within a score. They were down six. They were one score away from leading in this game, and they did it again. And UCLA helps them out, going for it on the fourth down late in the game. Penn State gets the ball back, a short field, to score a touchdown. And they still find another way to break everybody's heart.
Yeah, that was, you know, what's interesting is throughout that day, and I had even texted you, and, you know, it was 10-0, and I was covering the Purdue-Illinois game, which also very ugly, Jim, if you wanted to throw out another horror. Purdue's secondary was a horror show of sorts. But I texted you, and it was, but when I saw 10-0, it's kind of like one of those games where if you're playing an FCS team or maybe a better MAC team, they get off to a really good start. They do some unpredictable things. But then once Penn State gets into a rhythm, you think, okay, this is going to be a 34-10 game once they really start going. And that's what I was expecting to happen. But as I was walking all around West Lafayette, getting to my car and kept updating the score, I'm like, oh, UCLA ain't going away. And I was finally able to watch it last night, got through three quarters, and then obviously I saw Penn State's final drive. So I missed a little bit of the fourth quarter, but even when I knew the result was going to happen, you just kept waiting for Penn State to finally take over the game, and they never really could.
And I think when you and I were texting early on, and I forget exactly how you started with like, uh-oh, or something to that effect early in the game. And I was like, not to worry. I'm still predicting they'll blow them out, as you said. And it had some similarities to the Penn State USC game last year. Go in, you know, just that slow start, whether it's the travel or whatever it is, Penn State's nature early. And if you remember, USC, I believe it was a trick play or something. They had like an 80-yard touchdown early in the game, probably in a way you could make the analogy to UCLA's onside kick. You know, as you said, the teams, you're a heavy underdog. Take, you know, pull out all the stops. Why not? Give these things a try. And they were effective. But as the game went on and Penn State made it a game, they could not find a way, Penn State's defense, to get off the field on third down. By the way, note to Jim Knowles and the rest of the coaching staff, Nico might scramble on third and long.
Yeah, he's still running, I think.
Yes, I mean,
there was no stopping him. This goes without saying. I mean, 0-4, but that was the best he's looked all season. And it wasn't particularly close. It wasn't like this is a UCLA team who has been, they played Northwestern close last week or 2 weeks ago, whenever it was. This wasn't even close. It wasn't like UCLA has been knocking on the door of beating teams and they just fell short. Like they've gotten blown out in all but one of their games. And I think their change of staff and the offensive coordinator was a big thing. But I think even if you go back to, and we talked about before we started recording, Jim, I think Gary Danielson does a really good job from the booth. But he pointed it out, the amount of preparation that UCLA put into that game, because that wasn't just an onside kick, let's hope we recover it. That was scouted. They knew, I don't remember who the player was going to go a specific direction, take a specific angle on that kickoff return. And that right side of the near side of the field was wide open. That was a guarantee they were going to get that onside kick. It was so well scouted.
And I think that play specifically, Dustin, was one of those indicators to the Penn State fan base. UCLA's coaching staff, as you pointed out, they scouted that, they saw it, they found the flaw, they did their homework and found that flaw. Penn State, which, you know, one of the things James Franklin has been talking about for years and years is bulking up his staff to have the people like an Alabama would have, and they're getting there, and they've improved their staff and they've enlarged their staff. And nobody saw this? You know, do you not self-scout? Do you not? And again, I'm not, you know, a collegiate football coach, but I would think you might get one of those staff members who, you know, by the way, your job is to look at special teams and see if we have a flaw here anywhere. It would seem logical to me to do that, Dustin.
Especially in this age where you can have like 80 staffers. And you can basically have somebody for each player to self-scout almost. Yeah, it was just – and then what was interesting, Jim, is – and I'm sure we'll get into this too, but in the post-game, he even mentioned something about them, you know, which we thought was a possibility. And I don't know whether he was talking about the onside kick specifically or just pulling, you know, trick plays and trying to get an advantage any way they could. But when you go into that game and you know that team has nothing to lose, don't you make some sort of adjustment and say, hey, this is what we've been doing, but if we think they're going to onside kick at some stage in the game, this is our plan for that. How would you not be? I just don't understand why. I mean, it goes to your point. Like, why are you not self-scouting that? UCLA scouted it well enough to where it worked. It wasn't, again, it wasn't like the guy missed. Penn State was in the right spot and he just bobbled it. It wasn't a missed play. It was clearly wide open.
And, you know, one other thing to consider here, and I don't have the numbers in front of me. I didn't think of it till just now to look this up. How many times has Penn State actually returned a kickoff?
Okay. That's a good question, yeah.
So if you're strategizing a return, the vast majority of the times there is no return. So perhaps you should be prepared and ready for something else. Okay, it's not like each player, boy, he's got to be in formation for a big return. We're not even seeing returns. Okay, so now though, we're talking about this special teams breakdown in coaching, but I think what burns the Penn State fans, Dustin, is it felt like you were totally and completely outcoached in every aspect of the game. That play specifically tells you about the special teams. Defensively, I think it's this third and long conversions that happen over and over again with Nico. And it'd be different if you Gary Danielson, who I'm going to compliment him also, he mentioned this early. And why don't you have a spy? Now, James Franklin has since said, oh, there were some plays where we did have a spy. And it wasn't effective because Nico beat the spy. You know, that to me is just a little too matter of fact, as opposed to, you know what? There's more than one way to stop a quarterback from scrambling and getting those big gains. You know, maybe you keep your defensive line in their lanes, no stunting. Maybe you play more zone and less man-to-man so your defenders don't have their backs to the quarterback. There's other things to do more than just a spy. And the other thing, which is valid that he pointed out, Tony Rojas, Penn State's easily their fastest linebacker. He runs a 4.3 40, is out with an injury. And yes, he definitely would have been the guy who's the spy and, you know, most capable as a linebacker to stop a scrambling quarterback. But is that it? Is that your only defense against the scrambling quarterback?
Yeah, and that, I mean, you just look at the numbers. UCLA 10 of 16 on third down. They had 280 rushing yards. And the other thing, too, about this to me, Jim, is so even if Penn State's, let's say, Tony Rojas is their best defensive player, just all across the board, best defensive player. You're telling me Penn State, what they have left, isn't better than what UNLV had, than what New Mexico has, than what Northwestern has? Like, legitimately, all four of those teams found ways to beat UCLA to contain Nico, and Penn State couldn't do it. I mean, just a malfunction. And I'm sure we'll talk about the offense too, but the other, like, 10 points in two games in the first half, 10. You loaded up your non-conference with cupcakes. You had an entire offseason, and you get 10 points in two games, one of them a home game against Oregon and one this week against UCLA. I mean, Penn State played well in the second half, and they were a few plays away from maybe just writing this off as one bad half. But how many times have we talked about Penn State's just lack of ability to get anything rolling in the first half and then having to rely too much on halftime adjustments? That's been James Franklin's MO, and that's a good thing to be able to make those adjustments and be better in the second half. But you have to have something in the first half, and they just really haven't. And I don't even think they have it all this season.
No, they haven't. And the expectation level was for so much more. Dustin, that's going to have to be it for quarter number one. Obviously, as James Franklin would say, obviously a lot more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. He's Dustin Schutte. It's quarter number two. Dustin, we're doing the autopsy on this Penn State-UCLA game. So many things to talk about and so many different aspects. And I took us to break you overusing the word obviously. And I was obviously referencing James Franklin, who uses that word to death in press conferences. In fact, there's somebody who in the media who tracks how many times he says it.
I like that.
And on their report, it will then say, you know, how many obviouslys were there in this? And he'll give the count. And it's always a high number, by the way. And I want to talk a little bit. We'll get back into the game some more. But speaking of James Franklin, and he is very under control, very intentional with everything he does, everything he says. And I wanted to get your take at before the halftime, he was interviewed on the field. Now, that's not typical. Usually these broadcasts, they'll interview the coach who's leading, okay? And then the losing coach they'll talk to during halftime, off camera, and then just report on what he said. I was stunned when it was him that they grabbed. And one of the things that struck me, Dustin, was how he was, again, very calculated, very intentional in his comments. You know, it's like, everything's okay, no need to panic, we're just inconsistent, got to fix these things and come back with the corrections in the second half. Now, perhaps he was had a very different tone at halftime with the players, but don't you have to reach a point where as a coach, you've got to lose it on your team? You've got to just say, this is unacceptable. You got to scream. You got to kick their butts. And if there was ever a time, was this not that time?
Yeah. I mean, that because it was, what, 27-7 at half? I mean, just a completely unacceptable performance all the way around. And you have to be, I understand the point of not wanting to throw your players on the bus. But I will give you an example. I apologize to all of the Penn State listeners, because again, this is my biggest point of reference, but after the Purdue Illinois game, Barry Odom goes into the post game presser. First of all, he kind of stepped in and then stepped out. And I think he was so frustrated that he just took a pause. But to your point, Jim, he comes in and some of the first words out of his mouth was, from the coaching staff to the players, that performance was awful and it was unacceptable.
Yes.
And I don't know if you ever, well, you probably have. I'm not going to go back and listen to every James Franklin press conference to see if he's ever done that. I'm sure he has at some point. You do have to reach that point as a coach. And he comes off to me as a little bit passive aggressive in some of these where he's just, you can tell he's frustrated. I have to think that there was some sort of messaging to get his players fired up at half, other than just everything's okay. But at the same time, you don't want to cause a stir in your locker room. I don't know. It would be fascinating to be a fly on the wall in some of those locker rooms. But I mean, at that stage, it was an awful performance from the coaching staff down to the players. Nobody did anything well that game in the first half.
And well, yes, if there was ever a time, Dustin, I assume at different times you've played team sports, mm-hmm, and had a coach, and maybe it's the high school level. I know that's where my athletic life ended, at the high school level. And, you know, a coach will just, it may be a planned outburst, but it just, where there's nothing strategic even mentioned at halftime. Because it doesn't need to, it's just a blow up. And I wonder if James Franklin has that in his system. And because I do believe there's a point, and this was it, the players needed it. The fans need to hear it also, that's what's going on, that he is as upset as they are. Now, you know, I brought this up last week, and I do want to get your comment on this, that after Penn State lost to Oregon, it always feels to the fans like the coaches and players don't take it as hard as they do. And I feel, my theory is, hey, they've got the benefit of a game coming up. So we got to start preparing for that game. We don't have the luxury of just pouting for a week, which we fans do. Okay. We can't let it go. And the players and coaches, they have to let it go because they have a new game. But it creates this feeling that I saw plenty of things on social media showing pictures of James Franklin, arms folded on the sideline, looking stoic, when I think fans wanted to see him just lose it on the sideline, yell at somebody, do something.
Yeah, I understand that line of thinking if you're a fan. Nobody wants to win more than the coaches and the players. I think that's their future. That's their livelihood. That's their job. So nobody wants to win more than them. But I think to your point, you do get to a stage where it feels like, I don't know if not being heard is the right thing, but it's, I think in Penn State's case, it's more of the sense of, okay, we can see these things happen consistently. How does the coaching staff not see this stuff happening consistently? And because again, it's the same thing we've said for years, right? Like when they play Ohio State or they play those Oregon or a top 10 team, they seem to get too conservative. How many times have we talked about, well, Penn State's a really good second half team, but sometimes they really struggle to get things going in the first half. And it's just, if you're a fan, it gets really frustrating because you do have a lot of investment. And a lot of times sports are our escape. If you have a bad job, if you have a bad day, we go back and we talk about sports. Well, guess what? Now Penn State fans have to sulk into a 42-37 loss to one of the worst teams in the Big Ten, if not the worst team in the Big Ten. So I totally understand that. So I get why they want to see that passion. And I don't know that James Franklin has ever been that guy. And again, maybe it's a demeanor thing where if he thinks, if I lose it, we're going to completely lose this team and it's going to get even worse for us. I don't know. They made some progress in the second half. But in that first half, I don't know why you couldn't get after some guys there and try to motivate your team in some level. Wouldn't it have been nice if, I've seen this happen every once in a while. A coach just calls a timeout and gathers his entire team around. And again, it's nothing strategic. It is just, this is unacceptable. We need to play better. And you don't see it a ton, but every once in a while, a coach just randomly will take a timeout. And I think that's where maybe James gets too analytical and too, it's just, we can't lose this timeout, even though maybe that's the best thing that your team needs to just kind of regroup, get motivated, and then go out there and make a play or two.
And, you know, I'm trying to look it up also. If there was a point where you thought, okay, here's that momentum changing, okay, and the block kick, and I was trying to look up my notes here. That's why you saw me, my head moving around, you know, I'm trying to find my notes. And where Penn State blocks the punt, makes the score 27-21, and there's still lots of time left in the third quarter, and they're within one score. It feels like exactly what you were talking about. This is that second half. Okay, it's turned around. You have the biggest momentum play of the game with the block punt touchdown. It's 27-21. You're ready to get UCLA out on a 3-and-out. You've got them 3rd and 7, 3rd and long. You stop at 1 3rd and long, and all of a sudden, this momentum has completely shifted. What happens? Nico runs in a scramble for 52 yards.
Yep.
And this is after a first half where this happened way too often, Dustin. So it leaves fans wondering, what was the message at halftime on defense, whether it's James Franklin, if it's Jim Knowles? Guys, we cannot allow this to happen again. You have better players all the way up and down the line of scrimmage than the guys on the other side, okay? And you allow the biggest play of the game is Nico on a 3rd and 7 running for 52 yards. Just that's got to be totally unacceptable.
Yeah, and one thing that was pointed out during the broadcast, and again, I'm not an X's and O's genius by any stretch. I understand it a little bit. But there was a comment made that Jim Knowles, it felt like sometimes I think defensive coordinators, especially when they have talent, sometimes try to get a little too cute. I think that was the case with Greg Schiano at Ohio State and why that didn't work. He didn't just let his players go play. There was a point, and I think Penn State actually got the stop on this particular play that I'm thinking of, but Gary Danielson made the point that like Penn State's disguising too much. You can overdo it at times rather than just letting your guys go play. Sometimes you can just bring a blitz. It doesn't have to be disguised in certain ways. And so that's what I wonder. Was Jim Knowles, whether it was because of last week or whether it was something stylistically they saw from UCLA, after that first half, I would have scrapped everything from the playbook and just said, you know what? Go out and play. We're just going to play simple defense. We're going to say our best 11 is better than your best 11 and make some plays. And I don't know that that ever happened at any course in that game, because I thought what you thought, Jim, when that blocked punt, I shouldn't say I thought what you thought because I watched the game after it had been decided. But when you watch that play, you think, and you see James Franklin running down the sideline, big smile on his face and, you know, go for one. And it just kind of, in that moment, I'm sure felt like this was the momentum play. And then you just get too cute defensively. And if you would have just let your guys go, and again, I don't know, maybe that's what they did and they just got beat. I don't know. But based on what I heard from the broadcast, and I rely on those guys a lot because they know the game better than I do, it sounds like Penn State was just trying to get too schemey instead of just letting their really good defensive players go out and hit people.
Well, a couple things is, Knowles apparently is known for a very sophisticated, tough-to-learn defense. And the other thing is, if you just let your players play, you've got the much better players. Right. So when you say, oh, maybe they did play straight up and just got beat, well, they shouldn't get beat straight up.
That's true.
By, you know, a team that is inferior to you, probably – at every position, you know, it's like, guys, if you got, you know, the 22 starters on each team, you lined up the 44 guys, and I gave you the first 22 picks, I suspect 20 out of the 22 picks at least would have been Penn State players.
Right.
Because they do have the superior talent, which really, you know, it points at coaching. All right, Dustin, that's it for quarter two. Lots more to talk about when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. I'm Jim. He's Dustin. Dustin, we keep going over this Penn State-UCLA game. And, you know, let's talk now about the aftermath. And when a Penn State game is on, I have a handful of people who will always be texting me in game. Okay. I actually counted this weekend. I had 10 different people texting me, and the range of these people, they go from, hey, they admit it, they don't like James Franklin and thought he should have been fired the day after he was hired, to the vast majority of them just we're not down that line. Well, 10 out of 10 on Saturday were ready to fire James Franklin, okay? And I guess I just – sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees. That's why I like to hear your perspective from a national aspect. James Franklin, obviously, a god-awful game on Saturday. What should the response be about James Franklin?
Yeah, it's a tough question because I still think he's a really good coach. And I would be interested to see how the rest of this season plays out. Let's pretend they had two really bad weeks and they're able to get back on track. They beat Northwestern. They beat Iowa on the road. And then they go in, and then they have two back-to-back games against Ohio State and Indiana. And if you win those two games, the last three are Michigan State, Nebraska, Rutgers. Now, look, I understand what I'm saying at this point, right? Like, that's a really tall task. But there is still the possibility that at some, you know, they get it figured out, and maybe they go 10-2. They're knocking on the door of the playoff. Now, I think what they would run into in that regard is then similar to what Alabama faced last year. You want to get into the playoff? Beat UCLA. Right? Like, if they're on the outside, they have nobody to blame. I don't
just
think
like if you're Notre Dame, hey, beat Northern Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. But I think realistically you look at the schedule and you say, we have probably at least one more loss. That's 9-3. What if we lose at Iowa? What if Indiana comes into our house and beats us? Could be 8-4. I think the problem, as much as he's done for Penn State in his, what is this, 10th year or 11th year?
I think 11th.
Okay. This was supposed to be your best team. This was supposed to be your best staff, not by just people. You said that, not Jim, but James Franklin, or as my brother calls him when he has a bad day, Jimmy Frankfurt. It does kind of feel like this may be the beginning of the end. And I think you can appreciate what he accomplished at Penn State. But if this is what you have, and I think the real concern to me, Jim, is you finally had a five-star quarterback. This was something that you thought was a big issue and kind of what prevented you from taking that next step. Drew Aller, to me right now, doesn't look like he's developed all that much. And maybe he took a big leap from freshman to sophomore. He's not improved. He might have even taken a step back from where he was last year. So there's a lot of things that are concerning. The one thing that I would caution against, and I'm sure Penn State is looking for my advice on this, is to me, you almost have to have a guarantee, like who's your next coach going to be and do I know I'm going to get him for a fact? Because you don't want to just fire James Franklin and then be left up a creek and have to, you know, settle for somebody that isn't going to get you 9-10 wins per season. You almost have to look, and I'm just going to throw this name out there. I'm sure this will be received well, but you'd have to say, like, do we know we can get Kurt Cignetti? Will he give us a handshake deal and say, yeah, after this season, I'll come be your head coach, but I got to finish out at Indiana. And doesn't have to be Kurt Cignetti, but if they feel really good about a guy, that's what they have to do. Because I don't think you want to fire James Franklin and then be like, well, we didn't have an option. We don't know where to go now. Because I still think he's probably among the 10 best coaches. It's just really frustrating when this is supposed to be your best season. You're coming off of a year when you made the semifinal. You were going to be Big Ten champs. You had a chance to win a national championship, and now you may not even make the playoff. You just lost to the worst team in the Big Ten. It's hard to come back from.
It really is, and I don't know if it's fair to call me a voice of reason. That doesn't happen often, and understandably so. But, I always have this – I believe there becomes a narrative that, especially when it hits the national level, the national narrative was big game James, can't win a big game. And they failed to look at the details of it. I don't know if you know this. There was his record against top 10 teams. Did you know that prior to the Oregon game, the last 20 times Penn State played a top 10 team, Penn State was the underdog?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, and again, that doesn't mean he shouldn't have won a couple of them or improved on the record, but it's part of the story. Mm-hmm. It's not the whole story, but it's part of it. And just like now, the narratives, and I'm seeing it all over from Penn State media, and we're hearing the same thing nationally. He's got to go. That's a fireable offense, the way they played against UCLA. And I get the anger, and all of those things are valid in that it was a terrible, terrible coaching performance. But don't make that move unless you know the repercussions of it.
Yeah.
You brought up a great point. Unless you know you've got a better coach coming in, if you know, it's like, and I know we use this always as Exhibit A, was there ever, ever a more perfect fit between coach and job than Scott Frost going to Nebraska?
Right. You're dead. Yeah, exactly. And I think you could fit Luke Fickell in Wisconsin in that same category. Everybody thought it was a home run. There are no guarantees. So you have to be absolutely certain that that's what you want to do. And I think fans always want, and look, like, part of this is, and this is why I say let the season play out, because I don't know that firing a coach midseason does anything for you. So, like, if you want to let somebody go a week before the final game of the season or whatever, fine, whatever. But in my opinion, a lot of people that are going to be talking about this know this is a hot button issue, and they understand, look, I'm in this business. I understand, like, that's going to get you clicks. That's going to get people to read your story. If you're going to talk about James Franklin getting fired, who are the next five candidates to take over at Penn State? I get it. I understand why people write those stories. I understand why people are interested in those stories, but you have to let the season play out, because again, what happens if this is just a really bad 2-week stretch? I mean, they went and they played, I can't remember, I think it was 17 or 18. They lost to Ohio State, and then the following week they got beat by Michigan State on the road, which I think was like a 500 team. And I believe they won the rest of their, I think they finished that season 10-2, if I remember correctly. UCLA looks a lot worse, but there's still some meat on the schedule where if you go 10-2 or 9-3 and you beat Ohio State or Indiana, do you really want to play that game? Do you really want to say, we could fire James Franklin and we could get rid of 9 or 10 wins per season? I mean, just look at, I'm not going to use the Nebraska example because Mike Riley wasn't a good coach for them. And so you had to make some sort of change and bring somebody in. But to me, Paul Christ, that guy was having in the middle of one bad season. They pulled the plug 6 games in and they have been a complete disaster. They may win 3 games this year. So be careful what you wish for, because again, I don't know that is there even another coach outside of Kurt Cignetti that you would say that's a guaranteed guy that's going to come in and win games? I think Kurt Cignetti's proven he can, so that's why I mentioned his name, but anybody else, I don't know that they can.
You know, Kurt Cignetti is a great name because he took an Indiana program that was not good at all, changed things over in a year, and to his credit, he's doing it again this year.
Mm-hmm.
Again, now he's also hit 2 out of 2 on his quarterbacks with transfer quarterbacks. Okay. And I don't think either year there was this guarantee that everybody else said, ooh, look, Kurt Cignetti got the best quarterback transfer in the country. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said that. That does not guarantee going forward it will happen, okay? We have this, oh, he's 2 for 2. We did it 2 for 2 quarterbacks, 2 for 2 years, seasons that were so good. And I'm going to bring up another example, Dabo Swinney at Clemson. He hit on 2 incredible quarterbacks, Deshaun Watson and Trevor Lawrence, okay? Boy, at that point, couple national championships, multiple, you know, appearances in the 4-team playoff. If there was ever, ever, ever a home run hire in the world, it's Dabo Swinney, right?
Yep.
Because he's done it, right? What's happened since then? Now, I'm not saying he's been terrible.
Right.
And in fact, this year, a lot of people thought that was a top 5 team national championship contender. But it's not turning out that way. Does anyone look at Dabo the same way? My point being, because you won 1 or 2 years, even if you've won, you know, for half a decade, that's no guarantee. There's one Nick Saban.
Yep.
And by the way, prior to getting to Alabama, what was his tenure like at Michigan State?
Yeah, he had one good season, basically.
So I don't think there exists a guarantee. And the other part of this equation, and yes, money is always part of these decisions, Dustin. I'm not sure you're aware, you know, nationally, if James Franklin wants to leave on his own and bail out, it costs him like $1 million. If Penn State wants to bail out from him, it's $56 million.
That's a pretty good incentive for Penn State to keep him, isn't it? I mean, and look, I don't know how much time we have left in this segment, but I'm just going to say, like, I don't,
one minute.
I'm just going to say he's been a great ambassador for the program. I think he's generally probably a pretty good guy. The few interactions I've had with him have been very pleasant. And so again, I'm with you. You don't make the decision on a James Franklin unless you're absolutely certain that you have the guy that's going to get you to the playoff and compete for national titles. Surrendering 10 wins, there are a lot of programs across the country, and you can't look at it like it's the 80s or the 90s or even earlier. This is a new era of college football. Talent is spread across the country. The parity is starting to get better across the sport. Just be careful what you wish for. And I'm not saying they can't make a change at the end of the season, but let's let it wait and play out and see how things go the rest of this year.
And, you know, when we come back, Dustin, I'm going to ask you about how many home runs are there out there in the coaching world? You know, you mentioned Kurt Cignetti, very good name, and what he did, you know, last year, so far this year. But remember, he's got some games against Oregon and Penn State on the road coming up. Will we still talk about him the same way after those two games? We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. I'm Jim, he's Dustin. We've been talking about this Penn State debacle against UCLA. No other way to put it, Dustin. And now the aftermath. And there's calls all over the place for James Franklin's head. And I hope cooler heads will prevail, because I don't want to go through the growing pains, or, you know, under that, be careful what you wish for. But when we finished up the last segment, I was saying, you brought up Kurt Cignetti's name, but go through the whole country and put together your wish list. You know, if you had unlimited funds, could bring in anybody you want, who are the coaches out there that you'd say, you know what, this is going to be an upgrade over James Franklin? Give me some names.
Yeah. I don't know if I can give you a lot of names. And what's interesting to me is I'd like to hear the Penn State fans who they would immediately want to plug in into that role, because I'm just going through the list, because you can't hire a group of five coach. You have to have somebody who's proven that he can win with top tier talent. And so, like, I'm just going through here, and I don't know that these people would ever leave. You'd have to, I think there are, in addition to Kurt Cignetti, I'm going to say there's maybe two candidates I would feel good about. One of them is the head coach at Alabama currently. But Alabama's been rolling ever since that Florida State loss, so he's not going anywhere. The other one would be Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss. And Lane Kiffin has had some duds throughout his career. They play a fun, faster offense. He knows how to coach five-star kids. But you can't bring in, as we've seen before, there is a difference between, like, if you put as good as of a college football coach as I think Kirk Ferentz is, he has made his living off of developing three-star kids. You can't just throw that guy and then expect him to win with five-star talent. And that sounds ridiculous, because you think better players, but there is also something that comes with recruiting four and five-star talent kids that you just have to change some of your mentality for. So I legitimately think there are two candidates. Maybe you could put Brian Kelly in that mix if he wore out his welcome at LSU. So three names, but I don't even think any of them are realistic. Maybe Lane Kiffin would be realistic, but that's like, okay, so you got one in Kurt Cignetti. So you got two realistic names, in my opinion. Maybe there are more out there. I'd be curious to know who they are, though.
Well, I've started writing down names here just for fun. Okay. But first of all, you mentioned Brian Kelly. What is he won exactly, Dustin? What am I missing?
Well, I mean, he did get Notre Dame to the playoff multiple times, and you take in the 14 playoff. I would take that.
Here's a couple names, and the same thing with Lane Kiffin. You know, mm-hmm. I think we're in love with how exciting his offenses can be, and he seems like a great offensive mind. More to that, to the job than that. And again, yep. You know, how many things has he won? You mentioned Kalen DeBoer with Alabama. He beat Georgia, so yay, we're happy now.
Just wait a couple weeks, Jim.
Yeah. You know, what does a second loss do to his standing with the Alabama fans? God forbid a third, you know. I think a lot of people, and I think for valid reason, really like Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. But he's already got two losses this year.
He's got two losses, and in his first year he lost to Marshall, and last year he lost to Northern Illinois. And he doesn't have to play a Big Ten schedule.
Right. I've heard, Penn State fans will throw out Dan Henning, the Oregon coach. A lot of good things he's done, but how do you like his playoff record?
Yeah,
off the field.
And I don't know if people understand how much money Oregon has, but it's a lot, Jim. They have a lot of money. I don't know that he would want to leave that position for any job. But continue.
Yeah. I think Kirby Smart is an obvious answer, and he's not going anywhere. We all know that. But he also has the advantage of being the one big school in Georgia, which has just the advantage of that recruiting territory. You mentioned Lane Kiffin. How about and I bring up this name for a reason, but I think a couple of years ago, a lot of people were really excited about Steve Sarkisian and Texas. How thrilled are the Texas fans with him right now?
Not too good. They're in a similar spot as Penn State right now.
Yeah. So, here's a name that I threw out there and this is perhaps me overreacting a little bit, but is it Jed Fish at Washington?
No, I did think of him. I would like to see a little bit more from Washington before I throw his name out there, but that would be he would be a good candidate. He was in the Big Ten for a while working on Harbaugh's staff at Michigan.
So, I think there's a name potentially to consider now. But, I had a listener send me Urban Meyer's name. So when you ask who are the names, and, the name I always bring up because everybody knows I'm a fan of his, and I am, is Manny Diaz. Okay. Now, is Duke overachieving? I think he's doing a pretty good job overall at Duke. I think he has some roots here at Penn State, as defensive coordinator, where he was universally loved. His style of defense, the fans really loved. He did some great stuff. It sounded like he had a great deal of respect in the locker room. Would he be a guy who did be at least a little touch of continuity? Because I don't think there's anybody – on Penn State staff, I don't think Jim Knowles is a head coach candidate. Andy Kotelnicki right now? No.
You know who could be? Penn State's a massive job, so I wouldn't get rid of James Franklin for this. But wouldn't you put Ricky Ronnie in that conversation?
No.
No?
I don't think the Penn State fans
Go ahead. I'm not saying he would – I'm not saying Penn State would be a fan of that, But I'm saying if you were looking at former or coordinators, I would think Ricky Ronnie would be in that conversation. I would almost just try to bring him back on staff.
Well, what I wonder is if some of the other guys, and again, I've not met these folks, but, you know, would you do something again? And I'm looking for continuity. Would you consider like Terry Smith or Anthony Poindexter, who are position coaches, but have been there a long time? Poindexter has been talked about as head coaching material, mm-hmm. you know, for a long time. You know, Terry Smith, great recruiter, been around Penn State, is a Penn Stater. And would they have the opportunity to keep this machine functioning? You know, I think it really would come down to, and this is just thinking out loud, if James Franklin chose to leave on his own, I think these guys would be candidates. But if the higher-ups are firing James Franklin, probably going to clean house and yeah. go outside. So, you know, the fact is, the conversation, it's a fun one, but I just don't think it's based in reality, Dustin. They're not going to get rid of him.
You don't think so at all, no matter what happens.
If this totally collapses and turns into a 6-6 season, okay, I can see it happening. But barring that, remember, this is a team. Remember, there were 2 years like around the COVID season mm-hmm. where things really did not go well at all. But I think if the powers that be are right now, James Franklin often talks about this is the first time he's had an alignment all the way up, the AD, the president, the board. Let me translate to you what that means. They are his people.
Sure. Yep.
And I think he's got all his people in positions of power who are not going to be anxious to get rid of him. Okay. Yep. I think they're his allies, if you will. So I think it would take a total and complete disaster before that they would let him go.
And as a reminder, since 2016, 11 wins, 11 wins, 9 wins, 11 wins, 7 wins. I'm not counting the COVID year.
Yeah.
11 wins, 10 wins, 13 wins. So this is why, again, let the end of the season play out. I even think 8-4, 9-3, is it disappointing? Yes. I could understand why Penn State would want to make a move. But at the same time, it's going to be hard to replace that type of production in terms of the wins. And there's a lot of schools that would like to average whatever that is, 9.5, 10 wins per season.
And would you have an issue, you know, you mentioned Cignetti. He would finish out the season at Indiana, perhaps go through a playoff run mm-hmm. that you have to wait for him. And remember, there's only one portal window this year in the winter. And you have players, you know, a lot of players are moving on after this season. How many more players would move on to the portal? What does that do to your current 2026 recruiting class?
Right.
What does that do to your 2027 recruiting class? You know, are you ready to take, you know, two steps back before you take, hopefully, three steps forward? It's a dangerous game to get rid of a coach, as you pointed out, who's winning 10 games a year.
Yeah. I mean, and there are a lot of factors that we didn't have to think about, you know, even 4 years ago. Right. So, yes. Yeah, there's a lot to unpack here. And so that's why, unless you can get, and even if you do get a guarantee, I mean, I know that portal window, that's only when they have to enter. So you can still get guys and do that sort of thing, but it's a messy game right now. And so Penn State, regardless of how the season turns out, you may be correct. He may not be going anywhere.
And also with that portal, maybe they have time to get out of the portal, but we've seen it in the past. I get in the portal, I'm out of the portal almost as quickly as I went in, because you don't, we saw it at Penn State with Bo Pribula, you know, when he ended up with, you know, announces for the portal and the next day he's at Missouri, and it's because it's musical chairs. You want to get your chair I'm not going to risk waiting on maybe Penn State. So anyway, Dustin, that's about it for our time. Thank you so much. This was like kind of being on the – it was therapy.
Therapeutic, yeah.
for Penn State fans. I suspect we'll be talking about this ongoing conversation as the season progresses. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Happy Valley United is the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. These opportunities allow student-athletes to engage with charitable causes and participate in business engagements to build their brands while making a positive impact. The collective connects fans, alumni, businesses, and charities with student-athletes harnessing the power of Nittany Nation. Go to happyvalleyunited.com to connect with your favorite Nittany Lion team.
Whether a department outing, entertaining your clients, or reconnecting with your family and friends, let Revel XP take the hassle out of tailgating. Simply show up and immerse yourself in the tailgating experience. Full service includes bellhops helping upon arrival and tear down when you're ready to leave. Revel XP elevates your tailgate. Reach out to us directly at 814-933-4100 or go to revelxp.com for more info.